Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
In today's scripture, the followers of Jesus get into a boat and set out across the Sea of Galilee. Jesus wanted to get in some quiet time, and the best way to do that was to send the disciples on ahead. So the disciples were in a small boat crossing a large body of water. Though it's true that some of the disciples were no strangers to boats, there's a big difference between fishing along a familiar shore and setting out across a sea. The sea was a scary place. It was the very embodiment of chaos. It was not a place where people could walk or live or build a home or raise food. It was the very embodiment of that which couldn't be controlled, chaos. And it was never more so than when there was a storm. All through the dark night, the storm raged. Perhaps some of them on the boat began to doubt the wisdom of following Jesus. They didn't want to be in the boat. They didn't want to go to the other side of the sea. It was Jesus who got them into this mess. Then, in the darkest hour of the night, something came strolling calmly along on the top of the water. Since it was obvious that human beings couldn't walk on water, it must have been a ghost. First the storm, then a ghost. It was not a good night for the disciples. But when he got closer, they could see that the ghost was Jesus. Peter, seeing Jesus doing the impossible, wanted to do it too, and stepped out onto the water. Whenever I think of the scene, I think of that Roadrunner Coyote cartoon, where Roadrunner and Coyote's chasing Roadrunner, and Roadrunner makes a sharp turn right at the edge of a cliff, and Coyote keeps running right out over the cliff, and is doing a really great job of running out on the air until he realizes that there's no land underneath him, and at that moment, he falls. Peter, realizing that what he was doing was not possible, began to sink. Then Jesus gave him a hand, telling Peter that he should have had more faith and should not have given in to his doubts. Jesus and Peter get back into the boat. The storm calms. The boat sails on. It's a happy ending with Peter affirming that Jesus is truly the child of God. Okay, so don't get hung up on whether this is really something that happened. We modern folk get truth confused with factuality. People at the time of this writing had no such hang-ups. arguing about whether it really happened is distracting, and it doesn't help us understand the truth of the story. In this story, as we said, the sea represents chaos, the place where the established order does not apply. Matthew got this story from Mark, and Mark used the Sea of Galilee as a barrier between the Jewish and Gentile worlds. In Mark's metaphorical geography, the other side of the sea was the place where the stranger lived. The barrier between us and those people, whoever those people might be, is a little frightening. The storm is a representation of that fear. In the sea crossing stories in the Gospels, the stories arise when the disciples head out towards the unknown other side. The storms don't happen when the disciples are sailing home. This story refers back to another story of faith, which talked about the people of God crossing the sea. That's the story in the book of Exodus. In Exodus, the sea also serves as the embodiment of chaos. The slaves who were running from Pharaoh faced the traditional choice that vulnerable people always face. They can either be servants of the empire or victims of chaos, represented in the story by the sea. But Moses showed them a way through the chaos of the sea and towards a third choice, a new way of living, with God and not Pharaoh as their ruler. The Pharaohs of this world want us to see no alternatives as staying within the safe confines of the world organized on their terms. They go to great lengths to churn up fear to keep us obedient. Those folks who are so incensed about migrants, homosexuals, transgendered people, or people of color are acting out of the fear that has been nurtured in them. This is the choice that pharaohs of every age give us. Participate in their violent systems of greed and exploitation, or enter into chaos. They claim that if their enemies are punished, if the poor are ignored, if the desperate are kept out, if those who are different are silenced, and those with wealth and power are allowed to operate without restrictions, then things will be as good as it was in some mythical past. And if these things are not done, then chaos will erupt, and privileged people will lose their privilege, and everything will fall apart. Fear brought Peter low. He began to doubt that he had the power to stand above it all. In the past, religion has often failed its calling out of such fear. More often than not, the boat of religion has been securely tied to Pharaoh's pier. Jesus walking on the water was a sign that the most fearful things in our world, things which seem so powerful, so pervasive, so inevitable, are not to be feared. On the other side of the sea awaits the enemy, the other poor and oppressed people, those who suffer. To encounter such people armed only with the love of God will challenge us and change us. Our antidote to fear is faith in the power of the love of God. The next time you're in Keystone Sanctuary, look up. There is a resemblance to the bottom of a boat. From the perspective of the pews in our sanctuary, we are looking up to see that bottom. That's no accident. Lots of churches are made to look that way. The vision of the church being a boat is an ancient one. The main part of the church is called the nave. And nave comes from the Latin word meaning ship. It's where we get the word navy. We are an upside down boat because we're looking up at the bottom. But it's not the church that's upside down. It's the world. In the light of God's love, wealth is measured in our ability to share, and strength is measured in our ability to care. In this reality, love is power, and love can form the foundation of a social order. In Exodus, the path across chaos led to the wilderness and eventually to a promised land of a just and compassionate community. In today's reading, the journey across the sea leads to the world of strangers in need of love's liberation. It's the same journey. Our journey away from fear and anxiety and alienation is found in a journey towards those in need of the compassion and justice of the love of God. People often join churches for personal benefits, the focus being on our needs and our wants. But the church isn't supposed to be a place of therapy or a place to find joy or a place to make friends or raise moral children. All of those things may happen. They hopefully will be byproducts of church participation. But that's not the mission of the church or the reason it exists. The church is the place to encounter the truth and through its insights, change the world. The church is a boat and not the destination. So, mateys, our God invites us to hop aboard the HMS Keystone. We're called to sail towards a distant shore, a future we cannot see clearly. It's almost guaranteed to be a bumpy ride. Let's see this community not as a static fortress of security and tradition, but as a boat meant for the open sea. Let's not be guided by the world, the past, or by our fears. We're called to oppose those who stir up fear and hate. We're called to challenge the assumptions and to challenge the lack of faith of those who claim Christ but sink to actively or passively supporting the unjust and violent practices of our world. Faith is a choice we make about what we believe is ultimately true. If we believe that the power to dominate and destroy is ultimate, then we will live amidst the storms of fear. It seems fitting that the world we have built on faith in a violence-based order is now beset with actual, highly destructive storms. But we can choose to have faith in self-giving love as being ultimate. It's a choice we can make. Such faith overcomes fear. Such faith is the source of enduring hope. We're called to journey beyond our security and towards those who suffer. We're called not only to care for those who are wounded by the ways of the world, but to change the ways of the world so that others won't be wounded. It sounds a little frightening to challenge the way things are in the name of a distant shore we cannot see, but don't worry. God is there to lift us when we start to sink. In the end, we'll discover that ours is a voyage of liberation for our neighbors, for strangers, for friends and enemies. In the end, It's a voyage that will liberate us as well. And that's all very good news. Amen.